everybody, welcome to another Liberty Plays podcast. My name is Eric Stahl, and around the table, directly to my left, joining me is...
My name is Jacob Irish.
And I'm Donnie Henry.
Now, we all have titles tonight on the show, Jake, so we're going to say who we are. I am the chair of the Libertarian Party of Tazewell County.
I am the vice chair of the Libertarian Party of Tazewell County.
And I'm the chair and the Lone Ranger of this podcast of Peoria County.
Yeah, but there's usually a few more Peoria people. We were so thrilled tonight. We're back at W. Sullivan's. It's the April meeting, and had a pretty good room full. Last month we had to cancel because Sullivan's was bouncing back and forth, being open and closed. So we called it, didn't do a podcast, didn't do a meeting, did a little virtual thing, which was great.
Yeah.
But this is so much better.
Yeah. No, it's always good to be back in the room, you know.
Donnie leads an awesome meeting. We're doing joint meetings for the two counties. So if you live in Tazewell County or Peoria County, but even if you live in Woodford County or Logan County, you know, make the trip up
here. McLean County.
Yeah. A couple guys from McLean County were here. The meetings are phenomenal. Donnie sets a full deck of things to do here. So we had a great Liberty Talk. We'll get into that here in a few minutes.
Yeah.
First off, we always have an executive meeting. And so we had that 2 weeks ago in lieu of actually having a meeting that we could get together. So a couple things have come out. We're going to be working on the websites in the future, so keep an eye on that stuff.
LibertyPlays.com.
LibertyPlays.com. That's basically where the podcast is going to be seated. But we're going to be doing some other stuff. Dana's working on that, right?
Yep.
Trying to get precinct committee men. That's part of the executive committee conversation. So if you want to volunteer, if you want to be involved with the counties, you know, please reach out. We got Damon, we got Eve.
Yep.
You know, trying to get new members.
So. And precinct committee is going to be the big push. Now that we're established in Tazewell and Peoria County, 10 signatures, you can be on the ballot. You know, people can pull a Libertarian ballot in the primary, and that's going to be big for us. So,
you know, precinct committee men in the established parties, the Democrats, Republicans, these are the ground troops that basically are the feeders for the party.
Absolutely.
If we could have precinct committee men in the Libertarian Party, we'd basically have people, you know, moving into candidate status, hopefully.
Well, think of it this way, Eric. When you ran for county board or county board chairman, you know, we all came from different areas to go into neighborhoods to canvass for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a precinct committeeman, you've got a ground troop in that neighborhood that will canvass for you.
Yeah.
It's so important to our staff.
And knows people. And
absolutely.
Give you a foot in the door. How valuable is that?
Absolutely. So this is what's going to get us to beat the R's and D's and bring liberty to our counties, you know?
Yeah, so we can't stress that enough. Please, if you're interested and you want to be involved, precinct committeeman is an easy way to do it, and we'd appreciate it.
And at the next meeting, Dana Olson will be putting on a Liberty Talk on precinct committee.
Oh, so. Awesome. I didn't even know that.
Love it. Excited.
Breaking news.
Boom.
So she's going to come back with some awesomeness. It's going to be good to have her back at the meeting.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. So.
Should we talk a little bit about the Liberty Talk?
Let's do it.
I mean, you went in guns a-blazing.
Literally guns
a-blazing. See what I did there?
Yeah.
It was all about the Second Amendment tonight, and the best part about it was you were all about the Federalist Papers, you were all about the original constructors of the Constitution, and, I mean, you made a very compelling case that the forefathers, the Founding Fathers, really thought about this in depth.
Oh, in depth. And here's the thing is that the courts, and we kind of went into the courts and the decision, the Heller decision and the McDonald decision, and those types of things, where they basically said that we have a right to self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
But the Founders, really, that was a given for them. Of course you have a right to defend yourself. Are you crazy? Of course you do. The Founders were all about the Second Amendment so the tyrannical government couldn't take us over. And then we read quotes from the Founding Fathers about that. And I think that you guys would agree, Jake, tell me, that literally is what it was all about, you know?
Well, 100%. You know, and then when you're going around the room and you're reading off the quotes that, you know, you said that they were vetted, right?
Yeah.
If you listen to what they say, it just makes sense. It was just, they knew what they were talking about. It was not for hunting. It was not, you know, they didn't, what was the machine gun that you had?
The puckle gun.
The puckle gun.
I've never even heard of a puckle gun.
Right? But it was made 78, you patented 78 years before this was ever written. You know, that's an entire lifetime before this stuff was written.
Yeah, for the listeners, the puckle gun was a fully automatic gun. That was designed way before the Constitution.
Yeah, an entire lifetime.
Yeah. So
there was a patent, so that means somewhere the government was already involved with screwing somebody.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
What government was that?
Yeah.
No. The one thing, my big takeaway was the allegiance to your community and to your state before the federal.
Crazy, right?
I had never in all of my existence, I guess at this point, really ever seen that order of thought process.
Well, and it was not just, you know, I talked about it with Madison in Federalist 46, but Hamilton talked about it in Federalist 28. They could not conceive a time where your loyalty would be to the federal government over your state. And now, it's completely on its head. You have people giving the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, which is great, but we should have more pride in our local communities and our local state.
And you brought up an interesting fact, too, is they didn't see a centralized army.
Oh, a standing army.
And do you think, I mean, let's have a discussion. Do you think that having the standardized army and the central army has created more of the I pledge of allegiance to the flag versus proud at my state powers, that sort of
thing? Yeah, well, I think that, you know, back in the old wars, you would have seen that the state militia, like in Civil War, you saw the militia from Illinois would come to serve the Northern Army, the militia from Kentucky, the militia from so-and-so.
Yep.
And then when we go into World War I, World War II, you started to see a standing army. And in World War II, it was really the case where we had a federal army and not a militia
in a draft.
You know, in a draft, So that even furthered that. So, yeah, I think that probably had a lot to do with it. But even more so, it created a situation where if we had a state that went rogue, you know, you would have a federal government and a federal army that could suppress that. You know, and Texas probably would be the ultimate one, right?
So that's my thing. As you were talking, I wanted to, like, raise my hand, like, there is one state where they proclaim allegiance to their state before the federal government.
And it's so interesting because, being in the National Guard, I can tell you this, that almost all of the National Guards in the country, 50 out of 50, the National Guards are funded federally.
Yeah.
Your federal tax dollars pay for that. Texas has its own state militia.
Oh, really?
Texas is the only one that has a state-funded militia.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
They can't get heat.
Yeah,
but they got a state-funded militia.
Just low blow. Cheap shot.
Yeah.
They'll come up here.
Hey,
don't let you know.
Don't mess with Texas.
No, I'm messing with Texas. I'm just saying, like, how interesting is it that, you know, they still carry that state militia? And I think, Eric, you make a good point where they're probably a state that may.
It's one of the only states. If you've ever spent time in Texas, especially if you get down towards San Antonio and stuff like that, those people have a Texas flag everywhere.
Yes.
They love their state. And you'll never see Illinois residents.
Who's flying an Illinois flag?
Nobody's ever going to. You know,
the DMV?
Yeah.
You're talking about the conglomeration of, like, local militias joining a state militia and then going to fight. It reminds me of, like, a scene from, like, a Scottish Braveheart movie. You know, like, the Clan MacLeod.
Unite the clans.
Yeah, the clans unite, you know, and fight. You know, that's the way it used to be. I guess maybe that's a little more primitive. But But there was a grassroots level when everybody felt like it was right and just, they would band together to fight oppression.
Yeah,
you're right.
Maybe we'll get that back one day. Maybe that's our movement. You know?
Maybe.
Unite the clans.
The Clan Peoria.
Yeah. The Peoria and Tazewell clan will unite.
It only happens on St. Paddy's Day.
Anyway. When we're all drunk.
So we did a little bit of a live stream at the beginning of the meeting. But
a little awkward.
No, I think it was fine.
You think it was all that?
No, I think it was. That's exactly how it needs to be. Although I think we're going to change a little bit of the order because I think we can have some of the normal business ahead of where I shut off the video.
Okay.
The thing is, folks, we did a meme of the month. We love the meme of the month.
It's fun.
And so these weren't really that racy. I don't know. Were you trying to contain yourself?
Because
there might be new people in the room. I mean, I felt like you were playing
safe.
They were
good memes, though.
They were good memes.
They were very good.
But they felt safe.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Well,
we're not in election time. It's... I don't know. It's been a little quiet.
I would just say that in the Biden era, there's just not as much racist stuff.
That's true.
Shockingly, you know.
Right. Well,
I mean, you're talking about...
Touche.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Should have more nap memes.
Yeah,
there you go.
No, in the past, the meme of the month has drawn scorn and ridicule from people who are casually watching, so we stopped the live stream before that, but we'll try and make those just a little bit longer. It was just kind of a in your nose saying, well, you didn't join us, so.
It's true.
And that was its purpose. Sorry. We also had some reports from everybody, you know, our groups and all that. I got to say, during COVID, you know, everything's been so uneven. I am so happy we met in person.
No,
I mean, we had the conversation, just the introductions around the room. There was some new people here tonight. The gentleman from Gun Save Life was here.
Yeah.
And you know what? That guy could probably do a Liberty talk and probably talk about, you know, what they do.
He didn't even know that we were doing that tonight.
No.
So he showed up.
Serendipity all over the place.
Yeah.
Right?
What a
meant to be.
What a night to get here.
Yeah.
Do we want to delve into local? Well, actually, let's talk briefly about the Peoria mayoral election.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as of right now, it's April 15th. They haven't called this thing.
No.
It was down to 26 votes separating the last time I checked. I think it was a day or two ago. Where are they at?
So I believe that Jim Montelongo is down from Rita Ali by 38 votes.
Wow.
But there's still a couple of more drops. But as we know, Democrats tend to be the ones that vote. Here's the thing. The mayor's race is nonpartisan, but we all know that it's a Republican and Democrat candidate.
Sure.
Rita Ali is the Democrat candidate. Jim Montelongo is the Republican-ish candidate. And so Democrats generally vote in mail-in. It doesn't look like Jim's gonna be able to make up that difference. But at the end of the day, what'll happen is Jim's going to be suing the election commission for not handling those ballots right.
Yeah.
And so there's some credibility to it. Yeah. One of the things is that any mail-in ballot that was received by Election Day had to be counted by Election Day, and they did not.
Yeah.
And then they didn't handle some of the mail-in ballots very well, or by statute. So this could be in the courts for the next 6 months.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. At a local level? I mean, this is where we've gone now with every election.
But, by the way, I think when the chips fall, we're going to be looking at a $500,000, $1 million election. I mean, the money that they spent on this election was ridiculous.
What's the salary of mayor?
Who even cares? It's part-time job.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like, I don't even think it's, maybe it's $80,000, I mean, at the most. If that, it might even not even be that, you know? You'd have to look, but
Jake, you just don't understand people willing to serve that much.
Mm-hmm.
You can't imagine spending $500,000 to get an $80,000 job. That's how much passion.
No, I mean,
have for
but
community.
That's literally how government does finances. So I guess that makes sense. Let's spend $500,000 to gain $80,000.
Yeah, oh, man,
that's a winning strategy. That's what I do in my 401k.
$500,000, I'm waving the Texas flag in San Antonio or somewhere else, you know?
If I didn't know any better, I would think you think people have an ulterior motive.
Really?
I do.
Yeah.
No faith in humanity, Jake.
Very little.
Jake Irish, little faith.
And just insider politics, there's no doubt that Reid Ali is handpicked by the Democrats. Jim Montelongo was handpicked by the Chuck Weaver Republican. And if anybody doesn't know, the Republicans are pretty split in Peoria County. And so the one faction won over Sid Ruckriegel, who's probably a much better candidate. And then the little guys like Andres Diaz, who was just a super smart guy, they were knocked out in the primary. So it's nuts.
And it went really fast, too. I mean, the one thing we talked about during the meeting tonight, I don't know if that was in Liberty. No, it was in your icebreaker when you were talking about should we have an election season or a single-day vote.
Yeah.
I mean, that primary process to running for mayor – was it 2 months?
2 months, yeah.
That's not enough time.
No.
It's just, it's not healthy.
No. It might even been less, because when I think about it, I don't think
February to April.
It might have been, I think the primaries were at the end of February, and so the ballots were finalized in January, so, I mean,
that's tough.
Yeah.
And then, what was the voter turnout? Less than 25%?
Well, in Tazewell, I think it was 9%.
It was terrible.
Yeah. Peoria had like 18 or 19%, but.
Yeah. Crazy. But you know what? It's only 85% of your tax bill. I mean, I can see why you wouldn't want to show up
for
that.
Who cares? Yeah.
Speaking of other politicians, I didn't know if we'd want to get into this or not, and I don't think Jake knows anything about it.
I don't.
But Allison Salinas, have you been on Allison's show?
Yeah, I actually was on the show.
Okay.
And
I haven't seen a public comment for her, so I'm gonna stay a little bit off on this. I mean, I've met her once, seemed like a nice person, but we got some money fraud charges going against her. She's the Republican who's running against Tammy Duckworth.
Yeah.
Well, she's attempting to. I guess she still has to go through a primary process.
Well, let's just put it this way. The Republican Party is a train wreck when it comes to this. We saw last year we had Danny Maloff running against, I don't even remember the guy's name. Who was he running against, the Republican? All I remember
That's a great question.
All I remember is that they had a forum and they asked this guy if he would legalize cannabis, and the guy said no, and Danny started laughing at him.
Yeah.
And so I remember that. But anyways, that guy was a train wreck. He was a longtime Democrat that changed Republican to win election.
Yes, yes.
And now you've got Alison Salinas, who by all means seems like a nice lady, but she's got a criminal history. Now we've got this fraud charge going on.
And it's not just one, it's several.
Several.
Yeah, so
wow.
I don't think it's going to be a good thing by the time it's all over.
And then
I was excited. She's from Pekin.
Yeah, right. You got a Pekinite.
Yeah.
But what did you expect with a Pekinite?
No, shush.
And so,
yeah,
no, but no. Then her opponent is Peggy Hubbard, who's from down in the St. Louis area. And this gal, she went into a school and claimed that she was concealed carrying. And then when they said, well, that's a felony, she was like, no, I didn't. And then it turns out she lied about it. It was just a complete fake out. Like, who lies about what they're doing, you know?
Apparently some Republicans.
Yeah, well, that's so that's a Republican race for you.
Okay, so, great, great. Yeah, all right, so. Might be room for a Libertarian run against Tammy Duckworth.
I would hope so.
If I were going to run against Tammy Duckworth,
yeah.
I think and I'm,
he's going to do it.
I'm going to play this against.
He's going to plug
I'm
it.
Put it to both you guys. I mean, I still have to. There's probably several people in the Libertarian Party who want to run.
Yeah.
But what if my only a single issue? Obviously, non-aggression. You know, I'm all about that and personal liberties and freedoms. But I have one issue, and we can talk about.
I think it covers all of those things: personal freedom,
there's aggression,
robocalls, ban robocalls. And I'll be one of 50 senators in Congress,
and the robocalls.
That's it. When we're standing there on the debate stage, they say, "How do you feel about Syria?" Well, this policy enacted by Trump allowed more robocalls. I'll just go. That's all I'll talk about the whole time.
It would literally be the answer to the rent is too damn high guy.
Yeah.
You know?
If you had less robocalls.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how many of your family members have been defrauded by a robocall? How many times have
you
thought
would be
somebody important was calling you? Yeah, I know, because I get the calls every day, because that's what I do for a living, is deal with customers and cars.
Do that many people have
every other day somebody calls me and says, they told me I shouldn't hang up, I'll never get this warranty again.
We, you know, without giving away, you know, a lot of things, but there are, you know, I work in retail, a lot of customers come in, and I've seen it.
Yeah.
And you look at them and you wouldn't think they'd fall for something like
that.
They do. And they do.
Wow.
So in all seriousness, the single issue of robocalls may seriously be the calling. Because it's an embarrassing, like they're already embarrassed to come in, because at that point they know, but they're asking you know, questions. But the amount that do, people know people.
Do you guys answer those calls?
I used to for fun.
Me too.
But now I'm past the fun stage.
Yes.
And now the worst part is because they clone local numbers.
Yep.
And I deal with a lot of things. So I'm like, well, that one's from Cuba, Illinois. I might know somebody over in Cuba.
I get a ton from IPAVE.
Yeah.
Why?
See.
But Cuba. I got them from
and
Cuba.
And I'm with you. I used to have fun with them. I'd be like, no, my name is Huge Ass or something like that, you know. But now it's just not fun anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm past it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have the time to waste. I even lectured a guy one time about he needs a new career. And then he basically told me to F off.
They do. They start swearing at you.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Anyway, so if I were going to run as a Libertarian against Tammy Duckworth, that would be. I just have more policy discussion about robocalls.
I would ask people in the comment section when we share this post on Facebook to
put your
comments.
All
what
right.
do you think? Should Eric run for U.S. Senate on robocalls?
All right.
If we get enough, I would say if we get 50 comments.
50 comments?
You're running.
You think 50 people listen? All right, you better share this.
Well,
sucker.
That's my point. I'm giving you an out.
So. Oh, okay, all right, I like it. I like it. Well, you know, like they said, I didn't win the school board.
Yeah.
When you win. When you lose, you win. That's how the school board works.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, boys?
I don't think there's much. I mean, the world's going crazy, but that's just that.
It's not as on fire as it was, but that's because Biden bucks have pacified a lot of people, I think.
It was the silence. I'm on team buy while you can, because inflation's going to be here, and what is it? Thou with the most assets wins.
What's Doge going at right now? 33
cents.
Yeah,
let's mark it down for the show so we can talk about next
episode.
Yeah, can
mark it.
Dun,
dun, dun. A 31 and a half cents.
31 and a half cents
for
a
several hundred dollars off of
a cryptocurrency that literally is a joke.
Yeah,
like they created it for a joke.
Straight up a joke.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure, is there a blockchain device building? I mean, can you mine Dogecoin?
No, it's a trade crypto.
Yeah.
So there's a certain amount out there.
And so here's the thing about crypto is that, like, Bitcoin, at least it's supposed to be inflation-proof because there will never be more than, like, 21 million Bitcoin. All of these other ones, you can. There's no limit to these Bitcoins. So it's no different.
I cannot speak intelligently because Gabe Casey is my, he's your lawyer, but he's also my Bitcoin counselor. So
is he
knows more about that. He's mining.
Is he a Bitcoin guy?
He's mining.
He's doing it all day.
He's mining all day.
Casey Law Firm, if he's
still doing that. CLOPeoria.com.
We are recording this.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Anyway. I've already found out if I try to steal his computers, I don't get his Bitcoin. I asked him the last episode of my other podcast, okay, so he's safe.
Love that guy.
All right, well, I don't have anything else. You guys got anything else? I know Jake's kids are, like, ringing him up.
Evan's already in bed.
Oh, don't identify your children.
So.
Dude, I'm going to step back one before we kill this thing. There was a lot of conversation about school shootings.
Yeah.
And I feel like people resort automatically to the worst possible scenario when we talk about gun control.
Right.
Because realistically, the amount of deaths from school shooting, I mean, I put my kids in risk all the time. But for the time they were 2 or 3 years old, I let them go outside by themselves.
Yeah.
You know, I let them get near the stove. I let them, you know, near the fire.
Horses. Whatever. You have horses.
I have horses. And the kids walk around the horses. I drive my kids to the car. You know, we drive all over. The last thing I worry about is a school shooting. You know, obviously, if it happens, it's horrible. It's horrendous.
Absolutely.
But it's...
You guys good over here?
Great. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. Getting that excellent service at W.E. Sullivan's in Peoria Heights. but the most horrendous thing, obviously, is what they use just to get your feelings and your emotions all wrapped up in this. And like I said, I just can't imagine a scenario where that's even in the realm of possibilities for gun violence, if that's what we're worried
and
about.
And it's terrible, but we're talking about something that is less of a likability. It's less likely to happen than being struck by lightning.
There's a gun shooting in Peoria every night.
Every night.
I think I was listening to 1470 on the way here, and somebody died in the hospital last night.
Yeah.
They got shot somewhere because shot spotters, you know, identified them, and they got to them too late or something like that. I mean, that's what we should be looking at.
Yeah.
We should worry about that. That's gun crime that's happening every day. In Peoria, somebody's dying almost every other day from gun violence.
And a lot of that goes to, you know, poverty. You know, you can talk about mental
there's
health.
There's all
you
kinds
go into it. But
I think if we're going to talk about gun violence, we should talk about unregistered guns and, you know, illegal gun ownership and, you know, people who own guns rightfully.
Yeah.
Whether you want to declare that those laws are correct or not. Those are not the people that you should be taking guns from.
The gun laws that they make are only going to be applied to people that will follow them. And they're making criminals out of all of us every day, you know. One of the guns that Biden wants to ban, I literally have. So he's made me... I lost it in a voting accident. But but before I lost it, passing this law, this executive order, made me a criminal. I'm a law-abiding guy. You know, I might go through a red light every once in a while, but for the most part, I'm pretty law-abiding, you know.
It's going to be interesting to see how it goes down. Yeah. This wasn't the first time this happened. In Illinois, we had John Stewart had a similar situation, you know, when they tried to change some county or city or municipal rules.
The city, I think. Deerfield.
Yeah, the city.
Deerfield.
Yeah. So now we're just trying to do it nationally. See how this goes down.
Fun. Yeah. Criminals. We'll all be criminals by the end of it.
All together. Yeah. All right. Locked arms in step together, criminals. All right.
I'm your Huckleberry.
All right. So for Liberty Plays Podcast, my name is Eric Stahl.
Jacob Irish.
Donnie Henry.
We'll talk to you next month, assuming everything's open and COVID hasn't spread to its sixth or seventh term.
Blah.